Welcome back to Living Our Breast Lives, a special episode honoring Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day, a podcast not only about two women thriving with metastatic breast cancer, but also self-love, appreciation, and overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life. Each episode, we will be focusing on a different word that will highlight the overall theme of each episode. Please don't forget to not only tune in, but to also subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. My name is Brittany, and with me is Ren.
Welcome back, beautiful people. Thanks for tuning in with us today. This week has not one, but two episodes.
What? That's crazy.
I'm ready for it. Today's episode concentrates on MBC awareness, along with advocacy, because today is October 13th, MBC Awareness Day, baby.
And we love October 13th. It's the one day all about us. So this calls for a celebration.
Whoop, whoop.
I feel like we should be drinking some champagne right about now.
Girl, don't test me with a good time.
Listen, you're the one who says all wins must be celebrated.
You got me there. MBC Day is definitely a win because it is just acknowledgement, and that is what we need. So Britt, why don't you dive on in and tell us all about this beautiful day?
It would be my honor. Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day, what is it you ask? Today is the day that proves the media's misconception that breast cancer is the, quote, good type of cancer to get is
false, 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 false. Anyone who thinks that this is the good cancer to get is misinformed in so many different ways. Breast cancer is, I mean, it's gruesome. There's nothing easy about it. So here on this podcast, we don't say things like, save the tatas.
Or big or small, save them all.
Yeah. And why, you ask? Because we are informed enough to know that most women diagnosed with breast cancer don't actually get the luxury to, in fact, quote unquote, save their tatas.
Yes, and October 13th is nationally recognized as the official Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day in an effort to drive awareness that more, and I can't emphasize this enough, more research needs to be done to find a cure for breast cancer.
Ah, the C word brings us back to that word hope. No matter if you're early stage or late stage breast cancer, I think we can all agree that our commonality here is wanting to find a damn cure so more lives can be saved.
Someday, ooh, ooh, someday. I should change that to one day. One day, ooh,
okay.
Ooh,
one Wait, day. How about this? Let's do celebrate NBC. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's really catchy. I like that better than mine.
Maybe we should start each episode with that instead of the music that we have.
I like it. I like it a lot. We should.
Thanks. I'll be here all night. Okay. I promise I'm done now. All right. So let's go back to what you said, Britt. One day is better than no day. That being said, anyone who wants to know how you can offer support today, please, please, please tune in to the third annual Light Up MBC Global Landmark Campaign tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on either Facebook Live at MetaViver or at metaviver.org/lightupmbc.
I love the concept of Light Up MBC because creating awareness can also help give us more support. It's hard struggling with a disease that no one really knows about or talks about for that matter.
So true. It really can feel isolating. And I love Light Up MBC because new research eventually leads to new treatment options, and new treatment options then leads to saving lives. So how about we all tune in, and if you can donate, greatly, greatly appreciated.
I bet you're so excited to see Charlotte's Duke Energy Convention Center lit up in our colors tonight. Mm-hmm. Apparently, from what I was reading, over 200 iconic landmarks around the world will be illuminated in green, teal, and pink.
Actually, that's my favorite part because it's right smack in the middle of Uptown too. And it's gorgeous. And that's a lot, over 200. God damn. And I actually heard about some international landmarks participating too. I think on MetaViver, I saw Ireland, Sweden, and then I also saw a ton of different cities in Canada. Britt, why don't you share with our listeners what to expect during tonight's event?
So Light Up NBC is a virtual evening filled with inspiring stories told by people in the metastatic breast cancer community. And we can't forget about the talented musical guests.
You know what? Who knows? Maybe next year we could be one of Light Up NBC's speakers sharing our inspiring stories for the world to hear. Wouldn't that be something?
I was hoping we could be the musical guests.
That too. Maybe we could just do both. We should make it a goal.
Yeah, literally. I hope so.
Adding it to my list of goals as we speak.
I learned so much from following MetaViver. So why is today so different from everything Pink Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I would say, you know, back as what we've said in previous episodes, that early stage is different from late stage in that stages 0 to 3 will finish recommended treatments and potentially move on to remission because the cancer has fortunately never left the originated breast area. As for stage 4, we all know that treatment continues for life because the cancer has in fact left the breast area, metastasized elsewhere, making it incurable.
That's exactly right. And this is why our ribbons do not look the same. I wonder if people ever wonder, why incurable? To briefly put it, once the cancer cells have spread to another distant area of the body, it's nearly impossible to get rid of them. We sadly just never know where it can pop up next.
Yeah, and that's what makes this situation so damn difficult.
Girl, but we don't have time to focus on that. I'm too busy living my breast life.
Ah, I see what you did there. Proud of you.
Yeah, I need to appreciate that.
All right, so I think it's time we acknowledge the elephant in the room, Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
The hot topic of the day.
I don't know about you, Britt, but I have a ton of mixed feelings regarding Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I do as well. And first, let me start off by saying, we never want to take the importance of this month away from anyone. We're just wanting to show the other side as an NBC patient because it's equally as important.
Today is our day, yeah. I think we just need to remember that our main reason for starting this podcast was to bring awareness to NBC, but also shed light on what might feel like uncomfortable topics, but in hopes of helping women with NBC feel seen and heard. We need research, not ribbons.
And all we want to do is help women and men stay positive, stay hopeful, and know they are not alone. We're in this together.
Damn right we are. We are in this together.
And before we get into Breast Cancer Awareness Month from an NBC standpoint, you just took part in a fundraiser, didn't you?
Yeah, actually just a few weeks ago. It was called Pink Boots on the Lawn. And it was, we were there celebrating the many beautiful breast cancer survivors. And then actually this upcoming weekend, I'm participating in another fundraiser called Men in Bras. And it's actually a fashion show.
I would love to see that. Men in Bras. Please get a video of them strutting their stuff down the runway so we can post it on our Instagram page.
Okay. Well, it's the men that are in the bras. I somehow am, you know, strutting my stuff, like you said, in the runway, but I don't know if I'm making any promises here with a video.
Oh, come on. I'm sure our listeners would love to see that in action.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
So in October, you stay quite busy with a bunch of different charities and events.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to take part in the community. I want to be there for support. I mean, I consider myself surviving at the moment. Now, there's a part of me that feels different amongst the other women, but I mean, all in all, you've got strong women, a huge support system, and then community above all else. So, I mean, what else could you possibly need? And at the end of the day, MetaViver says, if we can figure out what drives metastasis and how to stop it from spreading beyond the breast to vital organs, then every single breast cancer patient benefits, whether you're early stage or late. And so that just kind of gets me back into that overall community support system. Now, on the other side of that, the burning question for today is why might October be a triggering month for those with an MBC diagnosis?
Okay, so I'm going to dive right in here. For me, October can be triggering any way you slice it. From a metastatic patient standpoint, it's the disheartening pink ribbons everywhere. Yet metastatic ribbons, nowhere to be seen.
So
and
true.
I would guess to say most people don't even know there is a metastatic ribbon unless they or someone they know has or has had the disease.
I mean, you and I didn't know what metastatic disease was until we were both diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are there no metastatic breast cancer ribbons in sight? I mean, it just really adds to why October 13th means so much to our community.
Exactly. And secondly, it just hurts so much that almost all the funds raised this month won't go towards a cure or a treatment option to prolong my life.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's the hardest part.
Exactly. And most importantly, from a breast cancer patient in general, I don't like that consumers are misled by pink products or products adorned with pink ribbons, thinking that if they purchase them, they're supporting breast cancer awareness programs or research. Mm-hmm. And while that is true for some brands, it's just not true for a lot.
Girl, you just nailed that. Because I mean, it's like you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I feel the exact same way. And I can't imagine how many of our listeners do too.
Yeah, because it's, at the end of the day, just a marketing ploy. And a popular gripe among advocates is that too much money is spent on awareness campaigns, the walks, the races, the rallies, when it could be going towards research.
Yeah. And research is just, oh my God, I feel like we're redundant with the research part of it, but that's just because it's so freaking important. And you know what? All of this just hits differently when you're sitting on the other side. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw recently on MetaPfizer's Instagram, because I feel like I'm obsessed, and it really resonated with me. They said the fatal form of any disease should get the most funding.
I mean, because that's what makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yet here we are. And then I think to myself, I wonder how many of our listeners know that only 2 to 5% of funds from Breast Cancer Awareness Month goes towards metastatic breast cancer research.
Wait, only 2 to 5% of funds go towards the deadly stage of breast cancer? That is insane.
Girl, it's infuriating. It makes absolutely no sense to me. So the logic is, if people die from stage 4, then why the hell is it so underfunded? Now, if it was a 50-50 split, I wouldn't have much to say. But 2 to 5%, like, if that's what we're working with here, I mean, it's just an unfair number, if I'm being honest.
And it's a sad truth. We're not kidding when we say stage 4 needs more.
And piggybacking off another thing you said, I agree. It's hard seeing pink everywhere during the month of October, because it's almost like it's this constant reminder that you as an MBC patient are no longer pink, nor will you ever be again.
It's another sad truth and also a harsh truth. So I don't want to spend too much time on MBC Day when we also wanted to talk about advocacy today and how it's so important to be an advocate for your own health.
So damn important.
There are many stories of women, maybe even you, who went to the doctor with a concern and in turn heard something like, "You're too young. It's probably nothing to be concerned about. We can just watch it. It could just be symptoms from early menopause."
Oh my God. It pains me. So if you're one of these women who have a familiar story like this, please do not hesitate to reach out to us on Instagram and share. I mean, we just want to inspire other women to grab their health by the, you know what, because early detection really does save lives.
And although it can be relieving to hear the words, "It's nothing," at the end of the day, it's your body and you know it best. If something feels different, if something is off, don't wait, act. And even if it means getting a second opinion, no decent doctor ever is going to take offense to you seeking another opinion.
Trusting your body and its instincts is key, because your health should be your main priority over everything.
Top priority. Being an advocate means taking the necessary steps to stay proactive. So since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I'd like to start with the basics: performing monthly breast exams. The National Breast Cancer Foundation
recommends performing the self-exam in the shower, in front of the mirror, and lying down.
Yep. You want to check both breasts for any lumps, thickening, hardened knots, or any other breast changes.
You also want to make sure you check for any changes in the contour, any swelling, dimpling of the skin, or changes in the nipple.
Yes, ladies, don't neglect the nipple. You want to make sure you also squeeze the nipple to check for any possible discharge or lumps.
Or nipple retraction.
Yeah, listen, if squeezing your nipple saves your life and catches something early, then by all means, squeeze away. And if you're uncomfortable or unfamiliar with performing these self-breast exams, visit nationalbreastcancer.org or any other reputable website for the how-tos.
Well, we have also provided resources on our Instagram page, Living Our Breast Lives, to help you as well. So self-breast exams were always difficult for me because of all the different tissue density I was feeling. I tried to always use my annual appointments to become more familiar with what normal breast tissue felt like.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's almost like my annual appointment was my baseline and anything that felt off or new was worth getting looked at. And Ren, this might sound nuts, but I really wish that in high school, like in health class or even in the doctor's office, they had a fake breast to help familiarize you with what you should be feeling for.
Oh my God, that's genius. Being a teacher, how or why did I never think of that? Imagine health teachers teaching high schoolers how to administer breast exams. And then after 4 years of doing that consistently, who knows, maybe it would become a habit. And what a difference that could potentially make.
I agree. Definitely has potential.
Yeah, but back to what we were talking about before, I definitely understand why breast exams can be challenging on somebody with dense breasts like yourself. It makes it really difficult to know what exactly you're truly feeling.
I swear, the time between my gynecologist and my first oncologist appointment was when I started to notice the physical changes in my breast. Like ever so slightly, my nipple was starting to retract in. Then dimpling started to become present on the outer side of my breast.
Do you still see physical changes now?
Not with the nipple retraction, but even though my tumor in my breast has shrunk substantially, there's still some dimpling. I'll tell you, when I see the outward changes, it scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. It makes it really hard to look in the mirror, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, it makes me sick looking in the mirror because of the, I don't want to call it a deformity, but the changes. And then it's kind of also a reminder like, oh, well, you are sick. So
yeah,
I just wanted to start treatment and get the cancer gone.
I completely get it. After I had the two surgeries on my right side, it just became really difficult to look in the mirror. And it's just terrifying. And it is that constant reminder of kind of what you've been through, of course, where you are now, and it does a lot to your psyche. So if there's anyone that gets it, it's me.
I'm glad you always are there to understand. Let's tie this together with advocacy. You performed your monthly breast exam. It doesn't feel right. You go to the doctor and your concern isn't being addressed. Some folks would not push any further. But as we talked about before, we highly suggest you do.
Ooh, I need to take a deep breath right now.
Who's that?
2 hour beautiful listeners. This is your life and your life only. You should never worry or feel bad about getting a second opinion, especially if you feel your voice isn't being heard. Quick story for you. I met a woman once at a support group that told me she stood in the middle of the waiting room, mind you, this is without an appointment, and refused to leave until someone saw her. She knew, regardless of how many doctors told her her symptoms were nothing and that they were probably due to early menopause, that there was in fact something wrong. And I can't tell you how much I admire the strength in that woman, because would you believe me if I told you that after standing in that waiting room for hours, pushing for a brain scan, they actually found a freaking brain tumor and caught it early enough only because of her persistence. Being an advocate for your own health is unbelievably important because life is way too precious to be anything else.
That's such an inspiring story and good for her. Not a lot of people would do that.
I know. I kept saying to myself, like, we've got ourselves a baddie.
Keep joining her badass club. Those stories inspire me to do better. In addition to monthly self-breast exams, you also need to take the steps to schedule, attend, and maintain going to your annual OBGYN appointments in order to stay proactive. I schedule my appointments exactly a year apart. In the craziness of it all, in 2018, a lump or mass was not, let me repeat, not detected at all. Exactly a year later, two huge tumors. And when I say huge, I'm talking about one was 4 centimeters and the other was 6 centimeters.
Holy crap, those are big.
And they were overlying each other, which is literally why my breast just felt like a huge density on my self-exams. Given the size and the aggressiveness, these bad girls probably started growing right after my annual visit.
Wow. So just within that 1 year, I'm telling you, cancer does not discriminate. It doesn't care how old you are, what you have going on in life.
Girl, can you imagine if I blew this exam off a year in like not even a year, like a month or two? I would probably not be here right now. And I mean, that's not even me exaggerating.
Yeah, that is terrifying. That's exactly 1 year in between. Staying on top of everything Brittany mentioned will absolutely help you stay proactive.
I was and still am blessed with the phenomenal medical team.
That's so good to hear. Everybody should have a good medical team and a great relationship with their oncologist as well.
Yeah, I loved her right away, like from the moment I met her. I loved how she explained the cancer, my treatment plan, just everything. She wrote things down for me, drew some pictures. And at first, I actually didn't want to get a second opinion. I just wanted to get started.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, you're just anxious and you're worried in that moment. I totally understand.
Exactly. And it's crazy because you just want to get going. And then everyone around you and everything you read says, get a second opinion. So I did. And I remember telling her, I felt like I was cheating on her. She reassured me that a second opinion is common and that she expects it.
Yes. Most doctors do expect the whole second opinion process.
Yeah. And the best takeaway was that both the second opinion and my oncologist generally agreed with the treatment plan.
Amen to that.
Yeah. It was like, because if they had differentiating opinions, I'd be like, oh no, do I need to get a third opinion? So Rent, have you always had the same oncologist or have you switched around, gotten second opinions? Like, what's your story of oncologist been like?
So I have had the same oncologist for 3 years now. And also yes to the second opinion question, because they are a must if you have the time, of course. So I went to Duke, Sloan Kettering, and the Mayo Clinic all for second opinions. I was not messing around.
Okay, so we're doing some name dropping here, are we? Well, I went to Dana-Farber for my second opinion, so mic drop.
Nice. There's definitely a relief in knowing that all doctors agree with your course of treatment chosen by your oncologist.
Yes, such a relief. And along with self-breast exams and attending annual gynecology appointments, it's also important to know your family history as a way to stay proactive and ahead of the game. I knew my paternal aunt had breast cancer, but I did not cast my net out much further. So when I did, I realized my paternal side had a great deal of breast cancer I was previously unaware of.
I unfortunately have a lot of breast cancer on both sides of my family, which I actually knew prior to my first diagnosis.
Speaking of genetics, another way to stay ahead of the curve is to get a full panel of genetic testing done.
Yes. If breast cancer runs in your family, we would highly recommend getting genetic testing for peace of mind. Seeing if you have the BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation is very important.
The BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes are genes that, when they work as they should, They help keep breast, ovarian, and other types of cells from growing too rapidly or in an uncontrolled way. However, a mutation in these genes can prevent them from working normally and unfortunately increase a person's risk for breast, ovarian, and other cancers.
And just to add to that, according to the CDC, about 50 out of 100 with a BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene mutation will get breast cancer by the time they turn 70 years old, compared to only 7 out of 100 women in the general United States population. That is a drastic difference.
And so I know this is probably going to be a very unpopular opinion, but I'm not sold on genetic testing. I mean, if it comes back positive for a BRCA1 or 2 mutation, you can make the difficult decision to have a preventative mastectomy or roll the dice. But if you are negative, then what?
Well, considering I tested negative, not an unpopular opinion in my book.
Yeah, and you and I just had a discussion not too long ago. I tested negative for a mutation. My mom tested negative. You tested negative. I think everyone I have personally spoken to has tested negative. So then what? It's negative.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating part about it, because you're left with relief. But is it really relief when everyone around you is testing negative but still being diagnosed with breast cancer? Not to mention, now you have a lifetime of insurance companies fighting against you because you tested negative, and technically there's no need for preventative scans, even if your family history says otherwise. So frustrating.
Yeah, and what if you have an extensive family history of breast and ovarian cancer like you do, Ren? Do you just keep up on monthly breast exams, annual gynecology appointments, or do you consider a bilateral mastectomy because clearly genetic testing isn't foolproof?
I don't even think the insurance company would financially cover or grant a preventative mastectomy if tested negative for the BRCA gene.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, yearly scans and preventative surgeries are technically only allowed if you test positive for the BRCA mutation. Just like insurance companies tend to not cover mammograms if you're younger than 35, which is also complete bullshit.
It really is. I love that insurance companies like to pretend that they're doctors and act like they know what's best for their patients.
Right.
So I had a family member recently ask about my mother and I's genetic testing. And I gave her the information that we were both negative for the BRCA1 and 2 mutation. Both negative and both developed breast cancer. Which makes me think of this. What do you do? What do you do if you have a family history of breast cancer on both sides, your family member had genetic testing done, tested negative, and you test negative for a BRCA mutation? If insurance isn't an issue, have a preventative mastectomy. And is the only way you could feel better about your odds of developing breast cancer that mastectomy? Sorry, it's just thinking out loud. I know that was a lot. It's just not an easy decision to make.
No, it's not at all. And so, piggybacking off what you're saying, my mom has had an ovarian cancer diagnosis for the last 7 years, but her and 2 out of 3 of my sisters tested positive for the BRCA mutation back a few years ago. My youngest sister is 23 and has been getting alternating scans since she was 21, 6 months mammogram, 6 months MRI. And then my other sister, who tested positive for the BRCA gene, who just turned 28, which is only a year younger than I was when I was first diagnosed, she is also getting alternating scans to be proactive.
If I were your sister's, hey, sisters, I'd be like, you know what? Take my breasts, take my reproductive organs. Your risk in your family with your, family history, genetic testing, it is so high. I wouldn't even want to risk it. I'd be figuring out, okay, do I need to freeze my eggs and get a surrogate? What steps do I need to take to be proactive? Because mm-hmm. The likelihood I'm going to get cancer is greater than not.
Why don't you tell our listeners what the actual percentages are?
So if you have a preventative bilateral mastectomy, you're reducing your chances of a breast cancer diagnosis from roughly 60 to 88% all the way down to 2. Let me say that again. You're taking it from 60 to 88% all the way down to 2%. Mm-mm-mm. It's truly incredible, but is in fact a very hard decision to make.
Yeah. I mean, I know my sisters think about it, and I know we've had multiple conversations, but it is in fact a very hard decision to make. I mean, I didn't have the decision or the choice. I had to get a double mastectomy because of my situation. They have ample time to make that decision, and it really is a hard one. And so I feel for them in that sense, but I also agree wholeheartedly with everything you're saying, Britt, because after seeing what their older sister has been through these 3 years, like, I know they don't want to ever experience that. And I don't want them to ever experience that. And so it's that freaking gray area again that, you know, we talked about last episode. And like Brittany said, not saying that this is an easy decision to make by all means, but the numbers certainly don't lie. And if it means that you can save your life, I mean, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. But I am me and you are you. And at the end of the day, sisters or not, I can't force them to make a decision that they don't feel comfortable making. And at the end of the day, also, if an insurance company ever tried to deny my sisters a scan, I'd be afraid for them. I think after everything I'm going through and everything my mom is going through, I think the claws would come out, or even worse, the New Yorker.
I definitely don't want to see the Wren with the claws out. But at the end of the day, you're just protecting your family, as we all do. So what was genetic testing like for you?
So because of the long history of breast cancer on both sides of my family, as we have the aunts and the grandmas and the great grandmas, and then of course the years of fibroadenomas, I made the decision to do genetic testing at age 23. And this is where the results came back negative for the BRCA mutation. And I, of course, my first thought was that I was safe.
That's where we differ, because my genetic testing was done after to look for a BRCA mutation, which we now know was negative. And then unfortunately, 8 months later, my mom was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer, and she too had the genetic testing done, and that came back negative.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine a mother and daughter both fighting breast cancer at the same time. She, thank God, is now cancer-free. Boop, boop, go Diane! That was a difficult...
Go Brittany's mom!
That was a difficult time because, well, in more ways than one, maybe we'll talk about it in another episode, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can relate because my mom and I mean, not in the exact same boat, but she's also on treatment for life. And so her and I have that in common, and it's nice to have somebody to kind of go back and forth with, and we can relate to one another. But get this, had my test come back BRCA positive, I think things would have turned out different for me. I probably would have started yearly scans sooner. I think maybe I would have been more alert, maybe a little bit more on edge. Maybe I would have caught it earlier before it metastasized. I think that's the part that kind of hurts the most. But it was like, once I got that negative test result, it was like relief took over and I just kind of moved on with my life. And I hate thinking that way. But again, I'm human, right? And we have these thoughts and they will always creep in no matter what we do.
So I think you have to think about how young you were when you had the genetic testing done and tested negative for the BRCA mutation. It's like when you're, you know, early 20s, cancer is not on your radar whatsoever. So let's say, yeah, you did get the negative BRCA testing and you wanted to be proactive. Maybe you went for like a follow-up scan if insurance would have allowed it. The scan would have come back negative. So now you have a negative genetic testing, negative scan. Like, give yourself more credit. Like, your mindset's completely different. In your early 20s, that's not even what you're thinking of, you know? And I truly believe that everyone is where they're supposed to be in life. And I know that's sometimes difficult to hear, especially, you know, depending what you're facing, but like, you're where you need to be right now, Ren. Like,
see, this is why I need you in my life. You help me see the other side of things. Like, I think you're actually onto something there. I was 23. It wasn't on my radar, you know? And you're right. If I did happen to have that one scan at 23 years old, it would have come back clear. And, you know, at that point, even if I wanted to have follow-up scans, I don't necessarily think the insurance companies would have approved it because I was negative for the BRCA mutation. So I appreciate everything you just said. This is why you are such a bright light in my life, Miss Brittany. I love you.
I love you.
And I think what I'm trying to say is maybe don't be so reliant on the genetic testing, especially if you have a strong family history. Because at the end of the day, I did test negative, but I am still sitting here with this diagnosis. So to tie it all the way back in, you just really have to be your own advocate.
Yes. And so we have a lot of takeaways for today. Perform your monthly self-breast exams. See your gynecologist annually, sooner if you feel something is off. You know your body best, so you need to be your own advocate. You don't have to accept or settle for one doctor's opinion. Familiarize yourself with your family history and get genetic testing.
A lot of these things you can do, BRCA negative, BRCA positive. We just kind of want to give you, you know, the necessary steps to just being your own advocate, taking your medical stuff in your own hands, and just being proactive moving forward. So with that being said, please don't forget to tune in tonight for Light Up MBC Live at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. It would mean so much to Brittany and I if you tuned in.
You'll get to listened. See me as a guest performer.
Absolutely. Yes. And the
I literally got the text message while we were recording, Brittany, we need you to sing. We need vocals, not backup.
I know, girl. They reached out to me too. They must really want you.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Duet time. What song are we going to sing?
Well, how about this? Celebrate NBC. Oh yeah.
There's always one of us to ruin it. It'll be me this time. So thank you so much for tuning into our episode today. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Living Our Breast Lives, where we will share podcast updates, special dates, educational resources, and of course, health updates for those following our MBC journeys. Have questions, comments, or anything you would like answered on our podcast? If so, send us a message on Instagram. MetaViver donation link is in our bio, and of course, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And as always, choose kindness. Someone may look fine on the outside, but you never know who's struggling on the inside. Until next time, don't forget to live your breast life. God bless.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.